Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. Make a lot of moves.
I'm Scott Catoon, and this is TechNorry Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Desiree Vargas Wrigley, founder of Parachute, sitting in front of me here. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Of course. I always love having you back on the show. Not just because, I mean, you have a history with TechNorry. You were friends with Seth. You're in the original promo video that is on TechNorry. So if you go on the YouTube channel for TechNorry and you watch anything from like pre-mid-16, like it's all Desiree opening the doors for people. So we're thankful.
It is. I still wear that shirt a lot, actually.
Well, hey, so it's not that old then. It can't be that old. But you've been up to a lot since this. Obviously, the first time you came on the show, we talked a lot about your work with helping support female founders, being one yourself, talking a lot about your own experiences. You have spoken on stage at TechNorry. Speaking of TechNorry stage, you launched your original Republic campaign for Parachute on TechNorry stage, and you have since reopened that campaign, enabling everyone to equity crowdfund. We're going to talk a little bit about what equity crowdfunding is and how they can invest in your company. But before we do that, let's give everyone kind of a quick setup again with what Parachute is.
Yeah, thanks so much. So Parachute is a family activity club, and we make it really easy for parents and caregivers to discover, book, and drop into the best kids activities in your city. So that means Chicago, Dallas, Kansas City, San Francisco, and now Washington, D.C. And basically, parents come to the site, they choose a membership plan, and they can choose from thousands of classes. They can filter by neighborhood and category, and they can choose, you know, which kids they want to attend, click drop in, and they're all set.
So anyone keeping score here, when you came on stage and launched the initial Republic campaign, you were just getting ready to move to Dallas. That was the new market then. And now you've got all those other ones, including just launched San Francisco and now D.C.,
Yes.
So things are moving pretty quickly for you.
They're moving really quickly. And, you know, I think it's great. Facebook, right? You see your friends going to classes in another city. And then there's hashtag Parachute moment on the image. And suddenly people are saying, bring it here, bring it here. And then, of course, being on Shark Tank helped a lot. And we're hopefully going to launch some more cities.
So tell me a little bit about the Shark Tank thing. I know that that's a thing that people want to hear about. And we reached out to you when you were on it. And then I'm actually really glad that we were able to hold off a little bit to watch like the whole fallout, because there was multiple things that took place during your Shark Tank experience and after experience. I don't want to spend too much time on that because it is what it is. But I'd love to know, just for founders listening, thinking about going on Shark Tank, tell me what you're allowed to say without getting a lawyer from ABC walking in here. That's all she could say, folks.
Right? That's it. We're done.
And we're done here.
Yeah. No. So I think it's a long process, right? You never know if you're in or if you're not in along the way. But we just kept kind of making it onto the next round. And then we thought, you know, why not get the opportunity to pitch in front of Mark Cuban, who we really were hoping would be our angel, our investor that came in. And at the time, we actually needed the cash. So we filmed in June of 2016. We were still, only a few months old. And we didn't have a ton of data to present. So that was intimidating, I think, being in front of sharks with just 3 months of information. But I'm proud of how we did on the show. And we ended up on the show getting a deal with Mark Cuban. And then afterwards, the terms of the deal were pretty strange for an angel investment. And ultimately, the deal fell through. So
what is it? I mean, obviously, you don't have to go into like things, contractual stuff per se, but like, what is it as a, you're a multi-time founder. So this also comes into play with like, and I'm not sure if at the time you had the same investors as you do now, I suspect not entirely, but your network of investors are pretty sophisticated. So the average investor comes on, I think they just are starstruck and sign whatever deal they sign. In your particular case, what were some of the things that you expect to see in an angel investment that you were like, you're taking a big risk, I expect this, versus ones you saw where you're like, that's not really like that's going to hamstring me.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of the terms were ones that didn't indicate a lot of faith in my ability to run the company. And so that was one of the bigger problems. So it was, things like, tranching $500,000 over multiple payments over, more than a year is very atypical, right, for an angel round. But then also it was things like I needed permission to do things that you need to be able to do as an executive without having to go to your board or to an investor. So that part was limiting for me.
You know, it's funny. I've worked with this is not meant to be disparaging towards any sharks or anybody, but I've worked several times, sort of one time tangentially, one time more directly with Damon John. And he, and also Kevin O'Leary, like sort of through another friend and obviously our friends here in Chicago with like a champion who have investments from Mark Cuban, and as well as Dude Wipes, who also does. So I've had a decent experience with some of the sharks. And one of the things I've noticed out of the show is, like, obviously you get what you sign up for. You get a ton of national acclaim and attention and so forth. Mm-hmm. But they're not billionaires by accident. Yeah. And they have set up a system in place to run a lot of these startup companies like a business. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, literally, like, that is their business. Running your business is their business. So, like, Damon John had a mechanism in place, and I believe Barbara does a similar thing as Damon, where he has a marketing team for, like, a lot of stuff that's in the sports, fitness, apparel place.
Yeah.
Like, if you fall in line there, you follow that same metric, and maybe you'll be successful, maybe you won't.
Yeah.
He's going to be successful no matter what, because he's got a ton of stuff going through it.
Yeah.
If you don't, they seem to be, like, really... Like, it's not surprising to me, I guess, that they had clauses in there that basically put you kind of off to the side. Like, you're not going to get in the way of the mechanism that they've built, is kind of what it seems.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for a first-time founder or someone who has a single product, you know, it makes a ton of sense to go through that path, right? Because
absolutely,
it's a path towards potentially millions of dollars, and it has worked for a lot of companies. I think one of the things about tech founders, right, especially if you've done this before, is that you have knowledge and expertise, and you have a vision that is bigger than what you presented in the tank.
And you have your way. Like, you have your innate way of, like, leading people and building this, executing where the vision was.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And our vision really is bigger than what we are right now, right? So we've started out as a subscription service for families, but our bigger vision is to be the destination for family experiences. So that means from, you know, first birthday parties to sleepaway camp to, you know, maybe even eventually travel. We want to be the place that parents turn to first to see if they can get, you know, discover an amazing deal, but also discover the perfect experience for their family at that particular age.
So, you know, like, I promise we're going to move to the Republic part after this, but I want to talk. You brought up something I want to talk about a little more as a founder, because you have experience in this. You've obviously met a ton of founders across the gamut of different, you know, tech and otherwise. When you get to a position where you have a vision, and I think of Technori this way, like, we're on the precipice of going into 18 with a brand new vision and brand new strategy, and Technori is going to be something unlike it ever has been in the past, and I'm excited about it. But when I tell people this, I have to remind myself to be tapered, because I know that they're like, oh my God, you're out of your mind, that has too many moving parts.
Yeah.
How do you, as a founder, like, take that grain of salt and know, I've got this vision, I'm only going to tell you a little bit of it, mm-hmm, and then when I get there, I'm going to tell you a little more. And, like, how do you manage expectation, but also keep you and your team, like, full throttle towards this grand vision?
It's a great question, and one I'm not sure I have a perfect answer to.
I guess I'll make it specific. How do you?
I can tell you how, you know, I did it wrong, I think, in some ways, at GiveForward, because in the beginning, I pitched GiveForward as GoFundMe Now.
Yeah.
You know, like, everything to everyone, raise money for anything. And repeatedly in investor boardrooms and even with my team, they were like, we can't do it all. We have to choose a lane. And I think it was the right move for us at the time and where our business is. But I think founders truly do have so many problems that they're solving simultaneously. And we know how to prioritize it in our head, but we have to communicate it in a way that is manageable.
I fail miserably at that.
Well, they just can't pick up all the balls that you're throwing at them, right? You have to throw them one at a time.
Yeah.
And so now I'm a lot better at, you know, I still have this North Star, and I admit that it's, you know, the path there is kind of ambiguous, right? Are we going to get there entirely through subscriptions? Are we going to wait until, you know, our 2-year-old customers age up into the 12-year-old program to be able to offer these things? I mean, that's not what we're going to do, but
sure.
So I leave room for zigging and zagging to get to this North Star, and I keep the North Star pretty consistent. Like, this is who we want to be. And, you know, I might tweak the language slightly. So I think if you always just remind them that this is the end goal, and then as you introduce new ideas that do involve zigging and zagging, you admit that you might abandon one if the data shows that this is the wrong way to go.
So, like, and just to you, like, I'll even use our own story. I mean, the guys are sitting here around us as well. Like, in my mind, I've got the North Star. Like, I knew before Technori, I knew before I started the first podcast, I think we met on with Women Tech Founders, I knew what I was trying to do. I knew that there was a gateway. I knew that Technori played a very specific role in helping connect founders like yourself with smart capital and opportunities and things that would enhance your ability, like Republic, like trying to connect the dots to make it as easy as possible for founders who we thought really were the, like, they were hustling.
Yeah.
But what we are going to do to make money on that, I don't know. I think I know now, but like I didn't know. I know Seth always struggled with that. Mm-hmm. We know one thing. We're not going to make money off of founders. We're not going to sell things to them. We're not going to charge them for things. Like, we know that much.
Right.
How we're going to make money though, I don't really know. So we keep trying to like bounce back and forth to just pay the bills. And at times it's hard for me, and it's been hard for the guys, I'm sure, when I tell them like, we're going to do this all the way. And they're like, okay, so this is the business. So we're a media company now. It's like, well, no, we are in this context.
Mm-hmm.
And then like next day, you're like, no, we're actually providing services here. I'm like, well, wait, I thought we were, we're that today, like the zig and the zag. And it just is, I think it's challenging for me for sure.
Yeah.
For you, obviously in the past and you're learning from, I just think it's
I'm smiling because, you know, we face that too, even now at Parachute, because we have a two-sided market and you kind of do too, right?
So, yeah. Oh, for sure.
And, or maybe even a three-sided market because you have the listeners, the companies. And
well, the key there is like we keep it at two because you're right. The three-sided thing is what confused me.
Yeah.
People always come when I talk to friends and very intelligent entrepreneurs, they're like, this shouldn't be that hard. I'm like, here's what we do. And like, holy shit, that's not that. Like, it's not what I thought. We removed the third side of the marketplace by making sure that we don't make monetized startups. So by removing that out of it, it becomes there's the people who want access to startups and investment opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the consumer who wants to learn and become the next startup.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Not to, you know, commoditize my fellow founders. But in a way we are, right? Like
for sure.
That you're trading within those two markets. Sides of the market. So I think that makes a lot of sense to simplify it.
Yep.
We are running into something similar because we have the partner side of our business, right? It's all of these great providers of activities. And then we have the customers and they pay us the membership fees. But right now, our partners receive money from us. They, every time someone drops in, we pay them. But we know that they're spending marketing dollars in kind of inefficient ways. And one of the things that we do really well is build brand and do customer acquisition well through the channels that we've kind of mastered. So I think there's a role for us to play on the supply side, helping them do a better job. And it gives us an opportunity to monetize that too. And I just recently introduced that to the team. And I think it's about having the right people around you too that are, willing to have a little bit of whiplash as you go through new ideas, as long as you keep kind of that.
We're always in concussion protocol here. That's what we're going. Like, and the funny thing is, and my opinion means absolutely nothing in this, but I can tell you based on what you just said, that's the same model that I am selling to people when I talk to founders every day. It's building, like you called it, supply.
Mm-hmm.
It's building media. You are Technori for kids. That's how I view it. I mean, there are partners who want to connect with right now kids. In the future, you'll be Technori for people traveling the world. But you're connecting partners who want to make these people, these children, and their families lifelong customers.
Mm-hmm.
You are, if you do it right, if you do the media piece of this right and the experience piece right, you are the closest touch point they will ever have with that customer.
And we have so much data around these families. Not that we would sell them.
No, it's not about selling it. It's about being able to make the experience that much better, which makes the value prop for you to your partners that much more, more valuable.
Right. So we just introduced something now that we do on these birthday party guides. And so 90 days before your kid's birthday, we send you a list of the best places to have a birthday party for a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old.
Yep.
And right now, there are hundreds of places you can have a birthday party and they're, $600 to $700 investments. And if we can help kind of curate that list for you and give you the best of the best, then I think we're solving a real problem for both sides.
Well, now we're going to kick it over to Republic because all the things I just said to you like 2 seconds ago and what you just said is the reason that I have invested several hundred dollars into your thing twice now.
I appreciate it.
My girlfriend has done it. My parents invested it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, every one of my family has put money in. My dad.
That's so awesome.
So you were part of the – that was our first test run. We had just signed this deal with Republic. We're their exclusive provider for Chicago and the Midwest. We were the ones where if you want to go to an event like you did in January, like that's the place to go. We have companies like yourself on our shows so that people have the opportunity to learn about you. So our first one, my dad was like, I want to I want to play this first round out. And so he had a couple $1,000 and he's like, where should we do this? And we had, I'm not going to say the other company, but there was another company out there that I am friends with that I was like, we're definitely putting money in here. And I found out afterward, after your pitch, that he only put he had $2,000 to spend. He only put $500 on my friend's company and he put the other $15 on you. No pressure.
Oh, well, so, that is amazing. And I'm so sorry that I didn't know that so I could thank him personally.
No, it's all good. So like it was everybody, like it was an incredible experience. The Republic experience for you guys, I think collectively the four companies raised like $480,000, I think, in the first run, and now you're opening it up again so people can still invest.
Yeah.
Why equity crowdfunding? And it matters what you say, because you started Give Forward. So you already are part of this sort of ecosystem.
Yeah, so when I started Give Forward and came up with the idea in 2007, I'd always dreamed that there would be equity crowdfunding on the platform.
Yep.
It wasn't just legally feasible until you know,
Title
2016.
Three, yeah.
So the fact that it's now a possibility is amazing, because I think it just democratizes the world of funding and the world of capital, and it gets people access that just couldn't find it before. But it also gives early stage investors, you know, the possibility of, you know, dipping their toe in the water even before they've accrued enough wealth to traditionally
sure.
invest. And I think if we were all doing, you know, $50, $100, $250 at a time, we would all get these nice little paydays in 7 to 10 years. And some of them will win, some of
sure.
them won't win, right? But at the same time, the impact that we're having, that money goes to hire other people. It goes to create innovation. And it's not philanthropic dollars, right? But it's
no.
almost a way to be philanthropic and have a return that is actually tangible. So I love the power of the crowd, obviously. And the other big thing is that I really believe in Parachute being a success, and I think that we are built through the success of our partners and our members, right? They're trusting us with their kids and their money, and our partners are trusting us to bring the right customers to them, and at the same time opening up their facilities to our members. And so ultimately we want them to be part of the outcome of the business. And when we launched the first campaign in January, you know, we had significantly fewer customers or partners. Now we're in so many more markets and have so many more members. And so we wanted to give them the opportunity to invest also. And at the same time, open it back up to the Chicago community, because we would love to help generate more wealth for here, and also encourage local investors to look at Republic as a resource for finding great talent. Great, you know, great founders that they can follow, because there's so much happening here.
I totally agree. Obviously, there's nothing I could even add to what you just said. I think from our side, the three things that were the reason that I worked hard to bring Republic to Chicago and help get them kind of off the ground was one, and we've talked about this both on stage and on the other show, is women and minorities in particular struggle at raising capital, and companies, great companies, don't even get a look. And it's unfortunate, but I feel like I'd rather than try to like beat, and obviously you want to give effort and beat the wall in, but rather than sit in there and keep knocking on the door, I would just say F you, and I'm going to open this opportunity up to all my friends and family, and we're going to raise the same $250,000 I was going to raise from you, but now you lose, and 100 of my friends are now going to win. So I love that. As you mentioned, the democratization part of it, I love that. When we talk to entrepreneurs every day on these shows, and most of them have no business being an entrepreneur, to be totally honest, because you can just tell when you meet them, like, you're not made for concussion protocol. Like, you're just not. But if you want to learn a little bit about it before you step your toe in, invest in a crowdfunding campaign so you can like watch how this goes. Right. And then the most important part is one of the most challenging things as a founder is to raise capital. And it's not just because of who you know and the democratization, but the grind. Mm-hmm. And this is something like you just mentioned, you're going into different markets. You get to continue marketing your product and sharing the experience and now sharing an upside with potential customers across the country.
Yep.
And that to me is the main reason why I love and we have made such a huge importance for Republic and crowdfunding in general, you know, on the Technori platform. For you, you have opened up the second round to give an opportunity for those who missed out the first time in. What is your pitch for people who want to invest into Parachute now?
We've more than doubled our monthly revenue since the first campaign, and we have like 4x the users, and I think we are 10x the number of spots on the platform in terms of inventory. So we are on an upward trajectory that is very, very strong, and I think it's still a really great deal, honestly, to come in at the stage of the business where we are.
Yeah.
So I would say it's like the last chance to come in on what I think will really be a national brand and one that will generate significant returns. So from a financial perspective, I think you should do it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that we've generated about $750,000 for local businesses in Chicago, and most of those are women-owned.
Yep.
They're passionate dancers and singers and artists who create these businesses to share their passion with the next generation, and they hire all of these young artists and musicians to do that in part because of the money that we help them generate. So when you invest in Parachute, you're not just investing for a return, but you're actually having an impact on the local businesses that we work with.
Awesome. How much longer is the campaign open? And of course, where do people go to make this investment?
So you go to republic.co/parachute, And we're open until December 31st.
Oh, and so Christmas.
Yeah.
You made a little Christmas investment.
To mix, yeah. You know, save some of that shopping money for Parachute. And we are at 140% of our goal, but our goal was very low.
Yeah.
You know, it was really, we just put it up to kind of see and gauge interest. But honestly, we would love to hit about 100 or 150,000 on the campaign because we could actually really use the money because fundraising is a slog.
Yeah.
And we are, you know, ready to go out and do a big seed or a Series A, but we still need some more runway. So
absolutely,
it will be used.
Congratulations on the success. This has been an awesome ride to watch. Thank you for all the support with Technori. Thank you for what you're doing for Republic. I think you have kind of taken the lantern as Republic's sort of first, I think the first success story that everyone's going to know about.
Thank you very much.
At least that's the sales pitch. That's what our email is going to say when we push out this podcast.
I hope
you're okay with the.
I would love it.
The grandiose stature that we're creating for you.
Well, thank you guys all for what you do for women founders, for Latino founders, for the community, and it's really an important job.
I personally think it's the savior of Chicago and the state of Illinois, for that matter. I think is what we're trying to build in the tech community as a differentiator. If we don't focus on this and have founders like yourself step up to do this, Genevieve Thiers is another one who we work with all the time on this. If we don't have female founders and minority founders step up and actually represent what they want to see, not just talk about it, I think Chicago's got a lot of challenges. So
anyway,
we just went on a little political rant, and thank you so much for coming on.
Have a great week.
You too. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.